It is Thursday the 22nd of March, and this is episode 112 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along to another episode. I'm Chris, and I'm joined by Henry.
Hello there.
And Ian's here as well.
Hey.
It's good to be back. I did listen to your podcast last week. Far too much agreement for my liking going on.
Agreement on what? What are you on about?
Everything.
You're right. I know, we just agreed with each other.
Yes, it was horrible. So let's try and inject some alternative views in. Nattering on like women about my weight as well when I wasn't looking.
It was all complimentary.
It was.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much. Bunch of old women. Anyway, let's get on with the news this week. And let's start with Twitter. That's happy birthday, Twitter.
Happy birthday to you.
6 years old. Not today, actually. It was yesterday. Unbelievable. 6 years of Twitter. They feel like... I don't know whether that feels a long time or a short time, really.
I think it's only like about 3.5, because the first 2.5, it was down all the time. So the
and to be honest, year three wasn't much better, was it? So, but anyway, 6 years old, known as Twitter, TWTR back then as well, before they got the rest of the letters in.
And it's blooming well everywhere. Hashtags everywhere. I still find it funny that...
Maze balls.
Well, I find it funny that the hashtags everywhere and they didn't actually invent hashtags.
Well, they didn't invent half the stuff we actually use it for, do we? So,
no.
But anyway,
they didn't invent the app
birthday
thing either,
and
did they?
Amazing what you can do in 6 years, really, isn't it? So Apple, feeling their pockets a little bit too full this week. So that I think they've got 100 billion in cash now, something like that.
They can.
Well, 100 that was, billion.
It was 100 billion before they announced that they'd sold their 4 million, 3 million iPads in 4 days. So it's probably quite a heck of a lot of cash.
I mean, it's just ridiculous amount of cash. Anyway, so they're thinking, oh, what can I spend this cash on? You know, there's loads. And they could probably buy whole countries if they wanted to.
They can buy Poland, seemingly.
Can they? Can have Poland. Excellent.
Greece wouldn't cost them very much either.
Even Apple probably couldn't put up with those debts. But no, instead they're going to buy themselves. They've seen themselves on the stock market and think, oh no, I'll buy some of my stock. So Apple are
honest,
actually buying back their own stock.
But there's no better performing stock on the market. So if you were going to invest your money, invest in yourself.
So Apple were working out what they could spend the money on, and they spent it buying themselves. They're also going to give their shareholders some money, which goes kind of against what Apple's been about since 95. Because they got a bit paranoid about having cash reserves to make sure they didn't go under, and I think they've succeeded in doing that. So now they're back to offering $2.65 a share.
I think what's quite interesting about this is that, you know, you think that Apple are really very innovative, you know, they come up with these great new products and everything, they're going to do something. And I think people, even analysts and things, were expecting them to do something really quite extraordinary, different and innovative with their finances here. And basically it was we'll buy back some shares and we'll give you a dividend. And actually, you know, that's just about what every other big company does when they've got some spare cash sloshing about in the coffers. And let's face it, it's not going to be a massive amount of money that they're giving back. Now, their excuse for that, I suppose, was that the majority of their cash is actually held overseas, and it would cost them an absolute fortune to bring that back. And I suppose, you know, we're part of that. Apple's got a massive amount of cash from UK punters such as ourselves.
They don't want to be transferring that through the money markets because, you know, it just all eats away money.
Well, I think there's tax implications as well in the US if they were to bring it back home. So,
but there you go. So that's what they're doing. Wish I had that much money.
Yes. The only thing I would say as well, they said it's going to cost them $45 billion. They made $15 billion last quarter. So it's,
yes.
And that's over, the $45 billion's over 3 years. This isn't going to cost them anything, really.
And the reason they're buying stuff back is I think they want to give some of the staff stock options again. And so they buy it back to make sure that the investors the other investors, their investment's not diluted by doing stock options.
I still think there's a small chance they might buy Poland in the next year. But,
why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? This American Life, which is a radio show, I understand, in America, has retracted an episode that it broadcast on Foxconn, so the iPad factory over in China. Now, there was a lot of reports on this, on Foxconn, and how, you know, how bad the working conditions are, but it turns out this report that they put out was severely flawed. I don't know if you followed this one, Ian, at all.
Yes, because this really kicked off a lot of the kind of anti-Apple, anti-Foxconn stories last year. So this American Life is very well respected radio show and podcast. It's a great podcast. Every so often they've got absolute humdingers of podcasts. It's an hour long show, lots of in-depth research. I guess the surprising thing about this is that the retraction wasn't just on their website. The retraction was a full episode of their radio show. So they actually did their own investigation. I guess a bit of background, the chap in question is a monologist, which I really find difficult to say. Called Mike Daisy. He's basically been staging a show over the last couple of years called The Agony and Ecstasy of Steve Jobs.
Which he is open sourced, by the way. It's free to download and for anybody to perform. He was on UK radio just the other week, talking about his show and saying how amazing it was and how he was doing it all, you know, every night and doing really rather well, and anybody else was free to perform the stuff. What he didn't say at that time, well, this was before all this broke, he didn't say that he'd made most of it up.
And the key points were is that what he's basically saying is that he's not a journalist, but he's putting on a show. But that's not what he portrayed. And he's done a number of interviews last year when he put over that he had went to China. It was him that had done the investigation. It was he that had talked to, you know, a person in the actual iPad factory who had been poisoned. It was him that was standing outside the Foxconn gates that had spoken to 12-year-old and 13-year-old. And then when you hear the interview from last year, it puts it over. You know, he's very good at putting it over. It's 14 and 13, even 12-year-old. You know, it's all staged. And I guess if you're a one-man show and all you're doing is speech, you do get very well versed in how to, you know, put over a good story.
If it's not true, why isn't it libelous? That's what I don't understand.
Well, a lot of people have said, why haven't Apple or Foxconn sued? And when he was asked that question last year, he said, well, 'cause it's true. And that's why they're not suing me.
I'm wondering whether there's stuff they are. I mean, well.
Well, Apple said before that they have found issues of child labour, but when they have found out, they have dealt with it. And one of the Mac journalists in the UK dug into this, and when they do find an issue of child labour, they actually then pay for schooling for that child privately, and they take them out of that factory environment because they don't want that. But there's nobody else doing that. So Apple's picked up a lot of heat. Mike Daisy obviously loved this because it got a lot more people coming to his shows. Yes, he's maybe open sourced it, but people are paying to come and see him doing that performance. And the episode of This American Life, he was interviewed. He gave a lot of evidence and behind all this, but a lot of the tech journalists just didn't believe him. You know, they didn't tie up with their version of how things are. So This American Life did a lot more digging. They actually got a journalist to dig into it more. They went and found a translator, and she basically rubbished all the parts of the story that he says it has happened to him. So eventually they re-interviewed Mike Daisy, and he put his hands up and says, yeah, it's not true. I didn't personally do it, but I am telling the story that everybody knows is true. And it's theatre, but it's also a lot of it is just self-perpetuating. The more times you say it, the more people believe it. It's a bit like the iPad overheats this week. Everybody, people at work have been asking me, I've heard the iPad overheats. And you're like, no, it's getting warm. It's not overheating. Overheating is when something overheats and fails and bursts into flames, or overheats and shuts down. The back gets a bit warmer. That, and it's good. It's good for page views and all that. So the good thing is, I think the truth has now come out around this. But I mean, even last year, he was slagging off tech journalists and said that people are not asking the right questions. And even around his stage show, he's now putting out that, you know, I mean, he's put out this as well to my audiences. It's you that owe the most to it. I want you all to know that I will not go silent. I will be making a full account of this work, shining a light through this monologue and telling the story of its origins, construction, and details. Because he slagged off the latest episode of This American Life, saying they used pauses to good effect. If you listen to his original show, he uses pauses to good effect. It's almost, the guy's a bit of a liar, you know, and he's been caught.
Yeah, he is, but he's, I mean, rather than put his hands up and say, yeah, you know what, I made a mistake, he's actually come back and said, well, he's got the brass neck to continue and to say, well, actually, it's all okay.
Yep. And as I said, he's still basically saying, although he now admits a few of the key points that he said would all happen to him didn't happen to him, he is just reflecting back what everybody knows is true. And that's the bit that's a bit galling. Nobody knows it's true unless you actually go and fact check it yourself.
No.
It hasn't affected iPad sales at all anyway. So
no.
3 million new iPads sold.
In 4 days.
Ow. It's, again, unbelievable amounts of numbers, big numbers. Just hitting a sweet spot, I think. I think it's no longer that marginal device.
Nope.
You see them everywhere now. You know, the time that it was a kind of surprise to see someone actually holding it out in public because we felt they were brave because it might get nicked or whatever. It really is now. You know, when the adverts first came on for the iPad and they showed people on the back of scooters using them and all these kind of weird places, and you thought, no one's ever going to use an iPad there. Now they are.
Yep. I still remember my first time on a plane using it, and people asked me, is that the iPad? Can you show me it? Can you demo it? And you go on now and it feels like
everyone's
half the plane's pulling out an iPad.
If you haven't got one, you're the one that's left out. You're not using an iPad. What do you do on your flight? unbelievable. I mean, just.
And it's got that much momentum that the FCC have now said we are looking at people using iPads and Kindles as being okay. We're going to, you know, does it really affect, you know, the safety of our flight or not? Because it has become quite ubiquitous.
Yeah. I think it's not only their strongest launch because of, you know, the number of countries, though. I think just this is the third iteration. It's just the time that it's number two kind of became mainstream, but now it's just almost a done deal. People were just waiting a little bit.
I'm amazed at people buying it at my place. How many? I've never known so many people just to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy one. Matter of fact, I'm going to spend £600. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or, and the rest when you buy covers and moleskin covers.
Leave my covers alone.
Stop pulling his covers.
Sky have launched Now TV. Another thing. They did say it was going to be the year of the apps and the initiatives anyway. So it's an internet TV service, basically. But this one, you don't need to be a subscriber. They're kind of, it's pay-per-view, basically. So the model is that you can go and effectively rent a movie, I guess, is the general idea, or watch sports and stuff like that. I've not really heard much about it, but it sounds like another step forward. BBC is starting to do this kind of thing as well. So,
and we've got Netflix now. We've got Love Film really trying to combat Netflix. And I think this is just Sky saying, "Hold on, we've got a massive amount of broadcast rights in this country. Let's give people another way of viewing it."
And I think it's probably again the model. They're kind of any time over the box when you can activate your broadband. I'm sure that'll all start. You know, again
now
asking.
Can it happen now? If you're a Sky user,
only if you're a Sky user, but it's not until it's open for everyone, isn't it?
No, that's what I mean. If you're a Sky TV user, you used to have to be a Sky broadband user, but from March 20th, they've kind of quietly launched it. If you phone up Sky and say you want Anytime Plus enabled, they'll enable it within a couple of hours, and you can just plug in any broadband provider, and you're up and running with Anytime Plus.
Off you go. There you go. Top tip. Woohoo!
I'm going to sit back on this one.
This news is.
Yeah, we're going to listen to you.
This is all you.
iPlayer has come to the Xbox 360, and a joyous day it is too. Having said that, I've only quickly used it once.
After waiting for 2 years.
Yeah.
3 years.
All that time now. Sorry. Nah. Whatever. No, it's great news, and they've done a very good job of implementing it. They've even put Kinect support in there as well, so you can hand gesture it or talk to it.
Okay, does this mean then that we can officially put this one to bed and never talk about this one again? Because it keeps coming up every few episodes on the podcast, and you have a bit of a moan, and we have a bit of a laugh. You know,
do you know what it reminds me of? The whole Skype debacle when there was a whole lot of stories about Skype, and it was like
to Skype version two.
You're not a keen Skype user, are you, Chris? It's a bit like Osborne doing his tax break for skiing yesterday in the budget. You're not a skier, are you, Osborne? You slimy toad.
Like the whiskey not going up on the duty on that. Anyway, yeah, so the whole sticking point around Xbox was always been BBC didn't want it to go on Xbox if it was only for gold subscription members. But they have got around that. Microsoft have relented. And so it's available to silver and gold. So pretty much if you've got a broadband connection, you can get Xbox. You can get iPlayer. And good news it is too.
And the quality seemed excellent.
Seemed good, yep.
Yep.
Fast streaming.
Yep. HD looked good. Subtitles as well. The only thing I was surprised, I thought you'd be able to log in and get your kind of favourites and stuff, but you can favourite on the 360 and it remembers in the 360, but it doesn't get picked up anywhere else.
It's a minor point. And a new story probably for the future when you
It will be for you because in a year's time you'd be like, still can't log in.
Another ongoing story, Game. Their shares have now been suspended on the stock market. So basically, until they can prove that they've got any money or ongoing viability, the shares have been suspended.
They're stuffed, basically.
Again, we shouldn't make light of this just because there's a lot of people that will be affected by this.
But there were more people affected last week because they didn't have any of the games in stock.
Yeah, so basically they have got a number of buyers who are potentially looking at it, but there's some big bills coming up. So the person's, if you want to get into this arena, then they're probably a good bet to buy because they've got all the points. And really, the biggest thing is you have to shut down some stores to save yourself some money. I was going to say one thing that just popped into my mind as I was listening last week actually was that. It's not that, EA have started doing all these online passes, so you have to buy an online pass from EA because they were worried about all the money that Game was making in the second-hand games market.
It wasn't just Game.
It's not Game now, is it?
So they were talking about that, and they can't be making that much. Either that, or they were making a horrendous amount of money that way because it all seems to be...
I think the problem with Game is that if you go back 5 years, they had the high street market was pretty much theirs. That was the first, maybe only place. HMV and Virgin were there, but Game was still the kind of one place to go, and you're guaranteed to probably get anything you wanted to get. Yeah. And now
they hit the sweet spot of the time that it became mainstream gaming.
There's been a little bit of history, obviously, because it's in dire straits now. When they bought GameStation, that was probably a good purchase because it was when all the new consoles were coming out. But we've talked about it before. There's just too many. If you go, and I don't know if it's the same in other big cities across the country, Glasgow is saturated with game stores, it just doesn't make sense. At the same time, supermarkets are now there, and when it comes to deals, the supermarkets are, I guess, the buying power means they are able to offer, your FIFAs and your Call of Duties at 25 quid.
And they offer them as a much better deal. I mean, do any of you sell your games secondhand to places like Game?
No, I'm terrible. I tend to hang on to them, and then I took about 35, 40 games to charity shop last year.
And see,
I probably lost a lot of money, but it was like I just can't be bothered.
You get a much better rate anyway on eBay or that as well. It's not like they were offering fantastic.
Do you know what puts me off eBay? Amounts. It's all the hassle from people doing daft bids and people winning auctions and then not paying or ducking out of it. Just ticks me off every time.
So a bad time for Game, but potentially a good time for game developers. The budget announced some tax relief, basically, if you're a games developer in this country, to help games developers keep up. To keep the money coming into the economy. We are known for making games over here. And this tax is sort of realization that something needs to be done to help the industry because we have seen quite a lot of game companies going out of business and especially developers.
And other countries are doing tax breaks as well. So it's to try and level the playing field slightly.
Yep. So there was quite a lot of congratulatory speech around the games market on that front. That's good to see. My pick from...
My pick.
Yeah, yeah, my pick, my pick from a couple of weeks back now. You
yeah,
know,
because,
back in the beginning.
Because before you mentioned it, there was no, nothing about it.
Nothing about it. So basically, Draw Something, the OMG Pop, who make Draw Something, basically got sold to Zynga of the multi-million dollar games. Anyway, they spent, Zynga bought them for $178.5 million, which is ridiculous.
Nice.
For a game that... One game that hadn't ever had any marketing done on it. It's amazing.
No, it was interesting, though. I mean, we didn't really pick this up last week when we talked about Draw Something, but, you know, it was like the company, OMG Pop's been in existence in various guises for the last few years, and they've had several attempts at trying to do some sort of app, you know,
they've
the original
spot,
founders are long gone, and this they tried like flash games and things online.
How
eventually.
Gutted must those founders be now?
Oh, exactly. And then they finally hit on this. So you know, there's actually been a lot of hard work going on in the background. They clearly learned a lot of stuff along the way before they had the hit. You know, and sometimes we just hear the headlines and think, oh yeah, that's that must be dead easy to do, but actually there has been quite a bit of work going on about it.
It's interesting though that, you know, Zynga getting involved in anything is almost it's kind of a bullying tactic now. In
Zynga's just turned out EA.
You're pretty sure, yeah. I mean, effectively Zynga, their argument would always be, well, look, we'll buy you and we'll pay you this much money, or you can hold out, we won't buy you, and then we'll just make a clone.
And we'll make a clone in a week.
We'll make a clone in a week because we've got that kind of resource. And
was
we've
it
got
not
a,
something like they had 3,000 or 4,000 developers now. There are some sort of scary behemoth.
That's what they are now, a behemoth. That's the only way of describing it, really. Anyway, so they kind of made a good decision. Whether they had to short sell a little bit to do that, I don't know. But there we go. Well done them. And well done on a great game.
Well, what's interesting is there's been a few commentators saying that they reckon they sold it early. They reckon they could have hung on and got easily another couple hundred million, because the thing that was remarkable, that this has become the number one Facebook game. You know, so it's overtaking Words with Friends in such a short period of time.
Hey, this is a deal or no deal situation. If someone comes in with a deal, me, $178 million, I think I might have to talk to the banker a bit. Facebook. Facebook News, a podcast wouldn't be the same without Facebook News. They have launched HD photos, so you can go full screen with your photos now. Apparently they've been collecting HD photos since about 2010, but it's only now they've got around to actually shoving them up there live. So you can go up to 2048 by 2048, apparently. And it does it in a nice sort of full screen slideshow type way. So you can sort of, you know, hover over the right-hand side of the page and it'll sort of scroll along. Looks good. Amazing amount of space that they're using up there.
That does look good. I've just tried it now. Yeah. That's amazing. I've just tried a Trey Lickliffe photo, and that
apparently
looks great.
Facebook have 6 billion high definition photo uploads every month. Billion photos a month. That is ridiculous.
That's just about one for every person on the planet, isn't it? A month.
It's scary. Scary.
I mean, I just cannot imagine the size of these infrastructures in nowadays.
Well, I remember Flickr last year, I think they were talking about their 5 or 6 billion photo. I know it's a very different market, but it's still, when you think they're dealing with that a month and what that must mean, you know, when you click on that photo, that it goes away and gets it and displays it on my screen within a second.
I don't know what it means, but it just means something. And it's pretty awesome.
How many crappy photos are there up there?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 5.9 billion of those are rubbish. Pirate Bay have taken to the air, they're trying to take to the air in a move to try and avoid. I don't know, to try and avoid the authorities. They're taking to the air. They're taking little drones and they're attaching computers like Raspberry Pis, and they reckon that they can get a proxy server running in the air, because that'll
Come
stop
on.
People from taking them out.
You don't believe this.
I don't know. I didn't put this story in here.
I put it in just because I wanted to play the Terminator music over the top of it.
That's what I was going to say. Is this Skynet?
So it's basically a way of getting a satellite without having to put a satellite in there. Basically, just, that's what they're trying to aim for.
Just with you mentioning Skynet, I still can't believe the British military actually made Skynet. It was like, was it somebody being funny or just somebody, you know, wasn't really that self-aware and just thought, yeah, I'll just call it Skynet. That's a great name.
Oh, if I was going to build a worldwide military network, I'd call it Skynet.
You wouldn't.
I have. let's get on some picks.
it was a moment from Austin Powers. It was great. I know, I shouldn't say
mini-me.
Oh, look,
there's his mini-me. Oh, no, that is you, Chris.
I walk into these things all the time, don't I? Never mind.
Well, I was going to say Limbo under them, but there.
Picks, Henry, rescue us, rescue me.
I've just got a horrible image of you limboing, Chris. That's just not what I wanted. Ian, that's terrible.
to make up for the fact that I don't have a pick and Ian doesn't have a pick, Henry's come up with two. Which one do you want to go with first?
Well, we'll go with Cloud On first, which isn't really so much of a pick, as I'm sure we must have mentioned it back in January when the service was launched. It gives you Microsoft Office effectively on the iPad for free. Now, there's an app that you download for iPad. Works quite well. Initially, when the app was launched, it was up for like about 2 days before they had to pull it because of it was thought that there was just excessive demand on it at the time, and I never noticed when it came back up, but I noticed this week that it's accepting sign-ups now, so you can all rush over there and sign up and get your Microsoft Office on the iPad. Works like with kind of virtual servers. You sign on and get your bits and pieces. You can sync to Dropbox and things like that.
What's their business model then? Because Microsoft sure as hell are going to be charging them something.
Well, I think that's the point is that I'm not sure if it was them or somebody else was a similar service was saying, well, actually, Microsoft can come after us all we like. We ain't paying them. We ain't paying them the cash. Which seemed a bit odd to me, but
this is different to, because it was On Live Desktop that was talking on. Was that not the one they were talking about?
Yeah, yes, I think you're right. I think it was On Live Desktop. Now it's isn't available in the UK at the moment, so you can't get that the app that.
You can. It still works from the UK. You just it's not in the UK App Store. I've got an American account, so I've got it on my iPad, and it does work.
So there you go. If you've got an American account, you can get it.
It's very quick because they're using that video streaming nonsense. So it's actually like you fire up Windows and it's really quick. And Office is, you know, like you fire up Word and 2 seconds later you can be typing in Word. It's quite impressive.
Okay. Well, there we go. I wished I had that, but there we go. It seems I don't. I have this. So there you go.
Site.cloudon.com. CLOUDON. What's the other one then?
The other one is another kind of non-pick, I'm afraid. it's an app called
On Fire. Cloak.
Getcloak.com. And basically what it is a zero configuration app for VPN. Now obviously VPN you use for securing your network connections. So really used for where you would use your Mac or your iOS device over a wireless network which wasn't secured. This, of course, begs the question, can you trust GetCloak? Because obviously all your stuff will be going through rather than the wireless network. The honest answer is, I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? But
I'm sure
it does seem they do
policies and all those kind of things out there.
Yeah, they seem quite switched on. They seem a bit on the ball, and they've got some good information, technical information on exactly what it is they're doing and exactly what it is that they're setting up. So you can see kind of protocols and things. On iOS, it's not quite as good as on the Mac. On the Mac, you've got to install a little service, which uses different kinds of VPN, which aren't baked into the OS. On iOS, they can only use the VPN protocols which Apple have provided, which are a little maybe not less secure, but they're a little bit more hassly. And when you fire up the app, all that you really have to do is you need to sign up, obviously, with an account with GetCloak. You put in those details and then you install basically the certificate. And then on your iPad or iPhone, where you have the VPN option in the settings, you just flick that over to VPN whenever you need it. And away you go.
Have some secure browsing. So there's a free plan, 1 gigabyte a month, 2 hours per month. So pretty much just a trial almost account that. They have one called a productive account, which is $8 a month. So you get 20 gigs unlimited time. And a powerful account, $15 a month, 50 gigs unlimited time.
Yeah, so if you're a bit of a road warrior and you're around about a bit, you're a bit concerned, you don't have... It just takes all the hassle out of setting these things up. The guys are fairly upfront about, there's nothing to stop you, of course, setting up your own OpenVPN server back to your home computer. But there's a lot of hassle involved [S2] Yep. [S1] In setting that up, and this kind of takes all that out of it. Just a couple of clicks, and you're done. And the free version, if you're just out and about and just want to secure your connection. Is pretty worthwhile and all seems to work quite nicely.
Good stuff.
I'm just trying Cloud On, and I've got Word and Excel running on my iPad.
There you go.
And it syncs to your Dropbox folder. So you say sync to my Dropbox folder, and I can now fire up I reckon
Microsoft are gonna come and swoop on you.
Yep, recently changed file. I've got a test.docx sitting in my Dropbox folder.
That's right.
Easy as that.
So there you go.
Good stuff. Interesting. Okay, and that is the end of our picks, and that's the end of our podcast for today. As ever, you can find all our information on digitaloutbox.com. You can email us, info@digitaloutbox.com, and we're on Twitter and Skype as Digital Outbox. Ian, where do we find you?
My blog is iand.net. I'm on Twitter as Sweeper, and I'm sure Henry won't forget the competition.
Yes, well, okay. I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK. So, Henry, tell us where we can find you and tell us about the competition.
Right. Well, I'm Talk Rhubarb on Twitter. And the competition. This is something that we've had simmering on the back burner for the last 3 podcasts. Actually,
I'm excited.
We've just been forgetting.
Even better, we've had a lot of time to actually put some music to this. Oh, well, not. Yeah. But
no, not that you have. But there we go. We have up for grabs a T-shirt.
Ooh.
Free T-shirt. Woo. Extra large.
I like the way you say free T-shirt. We've got a competition that you can win a T-shirt at $5.99.
It's a free T-shirt. $5.99 is the postage and packing. It's the T-shirt.
£20 postage and packaging. And tell me, Henry, and how can I win this T-shirt?
Just like us on Facebook.
Oh, easy as that.
Yeah, not us individually, obviously. Digital Outbox.
So go to the Digital Outbox on Facebook and like us.
And we will at random pick our winner of a social networking T-shirt. And we might even put a picture of said T-shirt up on the website.
Oh, I need to remember that now.
In a glorious blue, it comes in.
Glorious blue.
Okay, so get liking us, and then we will talk at you next week. So goodbye.
Bye bye.
Goodbye.
But yeah, I have to say, sorry for my reptiles, Henry. It wasn't very good. I agree.
No. It was fine. I was. It's thinking of the word. That's the thing.
But I have to say, my plumber with you, Ian, was just awesome.
It's not as bad as Brian's Warcraft, which for I must have sat for about 20 minutes trying to make a word out of the tiles because I just looked at this dragon thing and thought, what the hell is that? And these little blue figures like firing lightning. And for some reason, that meant Warcraft. And see, after I guessed it, I got a text saying, good work. And I was like, yeah good work. Because awesome. That drawing was key.
Oh, I spent a good 10 minutes, I reckon, drawing Hangover the other day before I realised that actually I was supposed to be doing Hanger.
That
was fun.
I clicked the wrong button once and tried, and then I was trying to do Nikki, and I was like, this is a disaster.
One of the best ones was, Lady. Yeah, Henry, you don't know Lady, but Lady Drew. Very basically, I had a black stick figure with black hair and a big backside and a microphone. and the tiles, I couldn't make up any words, but it was J-Lo, clearly. Class.